Well, it is a blessing to be here this morning, and I greet each of you in the worthy name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Stone soup. It's good soup. We learn that we all have something to give. I'd like to read a verse in James chapter 1, verse 17, and the title of the message this morning is The Gifts of God. James 1 verse 17 says, Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now this comes right on the heels of several verses that talks about the pandemic of sin in the world, where it says, But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And sin has infected every human being in the world, and we become accustomed to it, and maybe not as alarmed as we should be. And then it says, Do not err, my beloved brethren. And then is the verse, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And we realize that the perfect gift is in Jesus Christ. That was the solution for the sentence of death. And we are grateful for that. Notice the gift comes down from the Father of lights. I would also like to just simply look at this as the gifts, the resources that God gives to us, the Father of lights illuminates the path in front of us to show us how to utilize the gifts that he gives us. They're not just meant, given to us to hoard and to keep for ourselves, but they're meant to share. Just like was mentioned in the stone soup, the resources were available, but the people didn't have good soup until they shared their resources, and the soup was excellent. Everything we have is a gift. And I would say even hard times are a gift as we allow those hard times to purify and sanctify us. We have a God of redemption. He brings beauty out of ashes. He gives a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. And so even the hard times can be gifts sent from God. I'd like to look at Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. Luke 11, starting in verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Sometimes we miss out on things simply because we don't ask. When we ask, it's recognizing that we have a need. We become vulnerable. And I know soon after we were married, my wife thought it was sort of ridiculous the way I did not like to ask for directions if we were traveling and weren't quite sure where we were going. I didn't like to ask for directions, for help. And I think I've overcome that, at least in part. Sometimes it simplifies it when we just simply humble ourselves, recognize, I have a need, I'm lost, can you tell me where to go? I need help. You know, I don't mind when people ask me for help, or they ask directions, or they have a need and they come and ask me. I don't look down on the people. It makes me feel needed to them, and I like that. But for me to ask someone else is a little more difficult, and I don't think it should be. When relationships are good between a father and a son or a child, the child is not scared to simply ask for something. Now, the answer may not always be yes. It may be no, or it may not be, or it may just be not yet, or it may be a different answer. But a child in a good relationship with his father is not scared to ask. And I think as we think of God as our Heavenly Father, asking should not be scary. And as it says here in the verse 13, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? That should be something we should ask for the Father. Continue to pour out your Spirit on our lives. We want more of the Spirit, and we allow the Spirit to have more of us to completely control us. In the parallel account in Matthew, it talks how the Heavenly Father gives good things to them that ask Him. And so there's an abundance of things that the Father wants to give us as His children. He desires and delights to give. In Luke chapter 12, another passage I like to read, Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 22. Now, in this passage, the point is that we don't worry, we aren't fearful, God will supply our needs. And it considers that especially two things, the ravens or the birds of the air and the flowers, to look at them and learn the lessons that we should. Verse 22 of Luke 12, and He said unto His disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, here the writer is telling us to consider two things, the ravens or the birds and the flowers. I notice in Acts, or frequently in the New Testament, as the gospel is introduced to a people, they often go back to the God of creation to introduce the gospel, to that God is who He said He is. When Paul was at Lystra, and they healed a lame man, they wanted to sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas, and eventually they persuaded them not to. And Paul starts his message and says about God, nevertheless, He left not Himself without witness, in that He did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And I think just simply delighting in the things that God provides for us is recognizing who God is. He is the Creator. While there are lessons to learn from the birds and the flowers, I think it's also God delights in it when we simply delight in the beauty that he has created. Sometimes we may be too intent on, now what is the lesson to learn here? And it's good to learn lessons, but to simply delight in the gifts that God gives to us, I think gives pleasure to God. Going back to consider the ravens. They don't sow, they don't reap a harvest, but God feeds them, and we are much better than the birds. We are made in the image of God, and it's simply saying God will provide. All of us have noticed birds to a greater or lesser degree. If you go into town, you look at all the pigeons around the courthouse, just flocks of them. Or you see flocks of starlings and blackbirds or a huge flock of geese. We notice birds, and it takes a lot of food to supply all the needs of these birds. But the birds wake up in the morning, they go out, they scavenge for their food, they're taken care of. God provides for them. How much more does God provide for us? And the flowers. It says the flowers don't spend a lot of time in how they dress up. They toil not. They don't spin any cloth. But Solomon, the wealthiest man in the world, in all his glory, was not dressed like a lily or a dandelion, if you please. And I think the lesson here is that God will provide for our basic needs. And James tells us, or in 1 Timothy, it says, and having food and raiment, to be content with those. Now, I'm not sure how much of us would really be content when it comes down to simply having food and clothing or shelter. We have so much more that we consider needs. But God wants us to be content with the things that we have. And so we learn contentment. But I also like to look at just simply how a child relates to a dandelion. I don't know how many of you have experienced this as a child. But as a child, you know, you can pick dandelions and you can make a beautiful bouquet with it. Or you can take those same blossoms and rub them across your chin and across your mustache and have a dandelion beard. That's something we used to enjoy doing when we were children. And it's a stain that doesn't last too long, by the way. Or you can let it mature and it becomes a little puffball and you blow it and watch the seeds float away. It's fun. It's delightful. And then you can pinch the head off and use that stem. And if you do it right, you blow through it and make funny noises. And it's fun. Or you can take a flower head and take a bite out of the heart of the flower. It's sort of a pleasant flavor. It's good to eat. And so I think simply learn to delight and enjoy the things that God has created the way a child likes to enjoy it. It's beautiful. The other day I just put a dandelion blossom under a microscope again. And to look at the details, the intricate design of a weed, if you please. You know, we try to eradicate the dandelions out of lawns. We try to fight against them, but they're pervasive. They're tenacious. We can't get rid of them. And I actually think a lawn looks better if it's nice and green with some splotches of yellow throughout it. I think they're beautiful. But under a microscope, take the time to look at the details of God's creation. It is a marvel. And so if God clothes the grass of the field, which is so temporary, the blossoms don't last long, but God dresses them up, how much more will he take care of you? And then it says, so don't spend a lot of energy in looking after food and clothing, but do invest in seeking the kingdom of God, and God will supply your needs. And then it says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, there is a wealth of resources for us, the kingdom. We're not looking at, do I have enough to eat or not? But we're looking at the wealth of a kingdom. And I know this is not speaking just to physical needs here. This is talking about meeting the needs of body, soul, and spirit, this passage. But the kingdom, I won't go into the whole subject, but it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And it's not something that we grasp at. It's something we have to receive with open hands. And I'd like to look at Luke 18, how the kingdom of God needs to be received. In Luke 18, verses 15 through 17, and they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Now, this is not just a suggestion to receive the kingdom as a little child, but I see it as a prerequisite. It's a requirement. So how does a child receive the kingdom of God? To enter the kingdom, we need to be born again. And as a newborn infant is completely dependent on its parents for its life, in the same way, we need to receive the kingdom of God. We are completely dependent on God to provide. We can't feed ourselves. We receive it as a gift. Or it could be as a little child, perhaps a toddler. As he is given something, there's expressions of delight. There's laughter. There's shouting, yay, I've got a gift. And just simply reveling in what is given. And I think that's also something how we can receive the kingdom of God is reveling in what God has given to us. As a dad, when I give a gift to a child, usually the child receives it with hands turned up. It would feel sort of different if they would run and just grab their gift versus waiting till it's handed to them and they receive with open hands. And I think that's how we receive the kingdom of God. It's not something to be grabbed in a selfish way, but with open hands, we receive as God gives it to us. And when we give, you know, from a dad's perspective, it gives my heart delight if I see my children thoroughly enjoying what is given them. And it's useful for them. You know, as little children, there is usually uninhibited joy in what they give. And I would say that is not a sign of being spoiled. Spoiled children are typically not truly grateful for anything. True gratefulness, I think, is expressed in uninhibited joy. And that is what God our Father wants to give us. The kingdom, the Holy Spirit, a lot of good gifts. And I think he delights in it when we receive it with open hands and we just revel in it. It's not to be hoarded. It's not to be used for a little bit and then put on the shelf and we go on through life. But it is something that we utilize. It becomes part of it. We utilize it every day and we delight in it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17 through 19 some instructions that Paul is giving to Timothy to pass on instructions to others. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And so in here, and I would say we are all in the category of rich. And these instructions are for us, that we don't become proud or high-minded because of our wealth, and that we do not put our trust in things, but we put our trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, I think we enjoy things most when we hold them rather loosely. They're valuable, but we hold them loosely and we share them. If we take something and this is mine, the more I have, the more I have to worry about guarding it, making sure it isn't taken away. And there's not a lot of joy in guarding something. But he gives us richly all things to enjoy. And why does he give us these things? 18 and 19, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute. I like that. Willing to give to other people. That's why God gives them in the first place. Willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. One time we had a young lady at our place, and she mentioned she lived in an apartment at the time, and when she was gone, her apartment burnt, and she was left with nothing. And she said that was about the most freeing time in her life, when she had nothing. There was nothing to guard, nothing to worry about. And I think the point was that the more we have in material goods, the more we tend to guard and worry lest we lose it. Now, she didn't have a family to provide for, and when we lost our house a number of years ago, I won't say that that was one of the freest times in my life. I didn't feel that way. But it was a good lesson that we don't put our trust in temporal things, in material things. Currently, thinking about the teepee situation, I would say there's as much in Reno County in this past week as there ever has been in any week prior to it. But because of some people worrying and starting to hoard, it felt like the supply was limited and restricted. There's almost not enough. The supply is there. It's as much available as it was however long ago. But it's just not distributed evenly. And so we think the supply is limited. And we think there's a shortage. And I wonder if we treat the kingdom of God that way at times. The kingdom of God is not something to be hoarded just for our people. The kingdom of God is meant for everyone. If we look at it, well, I've got the kingdom of God, and it's just too bad for those who don't have it. I guess they just have to do without it. If that's our attitude, well, the question is, do we even have the kingdom? Because that is so anti the mentality of the kingdom of God. But I wonder, do we live that way at times as if the kingdom of God is for us, for our people, and we hoard it? And it looks like the supply is limited. There's not enough for everyone. The supply is adequate for everyone. And we have our part as God's people to be ministers of reconciliation, of spreading that kingdom, making it available to everyone. And I appreciate what Hands of Christ is doing in responding, in spreading the kingdom. And as it spreads, it will grow within our own hearts as well as for other people. He gives us richly all things to enjoy, and we enjoy it the most when we share it. In Acts chapter 3, a short story here of Peter and John. Acts 3, starting in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And it was seen by other people. But I like the response of Peter. Said, "Now there are certain things I don't have, but what I have, I'm going to give it. What I have, give I thee." He utilized the resource that was given to him. The focus was not on what I don't have and what I can't do, but it was focused on, this is the resource that I have and I make it available to you. And as the resource was shared, it had a way of expanding and it brought joy. There was leaping and praising God that took place. And I think the stone soup story is sort of parallel to that. As the people utilized the resources that they have and started sharing, it grew, it multiplied, and people were not isolated anymore. They had a joyful time together. And so what are resources that we have that we can, well, just what are the resources? How do we utilize them? I think we've all got plenty of food. We have family. We have community. We have money. We have an unchanging God. We have vehicles. We have the Holy Spirit and its fruit and the gifts. We have technology that allows communication even in quarantine. We have houses. We have clothes. We have time. We have abilities. We've got church family. What are we doing with the resources we have? Are we hoarding them for ourselves? We got to guard them in this time of crisis. Or do we say like Peter, "What I have, give I thee," and hold the things loosely? In the parable of the talents, a lesson that we learn from there is that if we don't invest the resources that we have, what we have is taken away. And so I'd encourage us, invest, share freely what we have. What we have will not last very long if we resort to hoarding and guarding it. But as we give to each other, as we contribute what we have, it can grow and multiply. We have a wealth of resources. Let's utilize them. In 1 Peter 4, in verse 10, it says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." The first word there, "as every man hath received." How did you receive your gifts? Did you earn your things, or is everything you have a gift? And again, I'd say, everything I have is a gift. In the true sense of the word earning, I have not earned one thing in life. If you trace it back when I was a little baby, I did not earn my life. It was a gift. The things that I have been taught, the abilities that God has given, that have been acquired, those are all gifts that have been given to me. So if I go work for a week and get a paycheck, that paycheck is a gift, because what I have been given is a gift that allows me to earn, if you want to use the word earn. So each one here, each one out there has a gift. The way you received it from God, God gave generously, and that is how we are to give generously. How we view God giving to us is likely how we give to others. And so if we perceive God as having been stingy in how he gave to us, we'll probably be stingy in the way we give. But if we see God as being generous with us, that should flow out of our lives in being generous and lavish to other people. In our vision, mission, and value statement under mission, part of it is, to this end, Center leads its members into a joyful, abiding walk with God and equips its members to reproduce their faith in the unchurched and to serve the disadvantaged. That speaks of being generous and sharing. And under the value of stewardship, it says, we manage, share, and enjoy God's gifts, life, talents, the gospel, possessions, etc. We manage, share, and enjoy God's gifts. And I trust that will be a part of our life as we go through this time to be generous. May God help us. Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Well, Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the one who gives every good and perfect gift. And you are the Father of lights who illuminates the path in front of us to know how to utilize the gifts that you have given to us. Lord, help us as little children with open hands to receive your gifts, but then to hold them loosely in the sense that we don't just hoard them, but that we share them freely with other people. Help us to live out the life of Jesus in practical ways, in meeting the needs of each other within the body of Christ as well as outside to meet needs. Lord, we need you. Give wisdom. Give direction. Help us also to learn how to just simply enjoy the good gifts that you give to us. Lord, you give so abundantly. We say, thank you. We love you. Go with us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.